Hello and good afternoon. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio. Yay!
Yay!
Oh, that was a little measly, but we're happy that you're here and you've tuned in to 90.1 FM and or listening online at kkfi.org. And it's happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. And we love you. We love that you've made us a part of your afternoon. So thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, so today we have a very special show. Every week it's very special. But today we're going to talk about where were you? This is the Valentine's edition. So, you know, I posed this question to a number of people in the community, writers, performers, musicians, singers, songwriters, everyone that I reached out to is very creative. So I asked them, where were you? You know, think about where you were when you fell in love with, say, your significant other, science, music, the 57 Chevy, your child, yoga, literature, Chicago, politics, you name it, you write it, you read it, we listen. So today I have in the studio, I have Summer Osborne, singer-songwriter, wonderful person. Summer Osborne is here. Also, I have a recording from our good friend, Quan Tracy Cherry, who's an attorney and an astrologist. And we also have Rick Stacy, singer-songwriter, performer, cartoonist. He's here in the studio live. Also, community activist, Lucky Garcia is here. And the beautiful and talented Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe. So we're very fortunate to hear their stories of where were you when you fell in love. So we're going to start off. First of all, we're going to welcome Summer Osborne. So hello, my friend.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, it's so good to see you. And I know
so
you're in town.
Good to see you. I am.
I know you're in town for the Focal Lines, but you've also had some other gigs happening, right?
I have.
Yeah.
I've played at a couple. I'll be playing I played at Fat Matt's this last weekend. I had a Unity at Unity Village. I'll be playing another Unity Southeast on Sunday morning, and then I have a show with Megan Slankert at the Inner Urban Art House on Sunday
evening. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pulled you in because we just love the energy and the music that you bring to the community and to our ears. So thank you so much for your sharing your talents.
Thank you.
Now, we want to hear from you, Miss Summer. Where were you when you fell in love with?
Well, I can tell you where I was very recently when I fell in love with myself. Tell you that because it's the first. Oh, this is the first time, probably in 20 years, that I found myself without a significant other. And I was on tour last October. October was it? I don't know. I haven't had a whole time to think about this. Driving cross country, and the oil light came on in my van somewhere in Utah, and I pulled over to get it serviced at Walmart somewhere. And I was inside Walmart thinking about how it needed to be, have it, probably need to have a tune-up. At the very least, I need to have it vacuumed out. They called my name over the overhead speaker, and I walked out to my van, and I rolled down the window to start it, because I always do that just to listen to see if I hear any weird noises or something, because I need to pay attention, right? Because I thought, this is the vehicle that gets me around to where I need to go. This is what takes me from place to place so that I can travel the United States, loving the world. That's my job, right? Changing the world by changing people's minds about themselves. And so I thought, I got to pay attention, because I always pay attention. And then I thought, something screamed in me. It was like, whoa, whoa, wait a hot minute, Summer Osborne. This body is the vehicle that gets you around. This is what's going to take you. Like, I want to do this until my physical body is in the ground. Get, you know, no hesitation, no question. This body, you are what's going to get yourself from point A to B, to, through, and around all of this. And you have a better relationship with your van than you do yourself. So there, I sat there for, it seemed like 10 minutes, like completely stunned with myself. Like, I can't believe this. I have a better relationship with my car than I do myself. So in that moment, I decided, okay, turn it around. And I've changed the way I eat. I've changed my exercise. I've try to meditate every day. I have lots of self-conversation. if I need to reach out, I do that. If I need to be alone, I do that. I pay attention to what my body is saying. I pay attention to what my higher self is telling me. And I, it's the first time, quite literally, that I've put myself absolutely first.
I love that, Summer.
I absolutely do, too.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, well, thanks.
And I noticed that when you came into the studio, there was just something different about it, about you. And I couldn't quite put my finger, you know, what, you know, just a lighter sort of energy about
it
you.
It is so. My frequency is off the charts.
We love that.
Fire.
Well, you know, and some people go their whole lives without feeling that, you know, self-love or that, you know, self-awareness. So,
yeah. I want to help facilitate that.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah. You know, and thank you for that story. I want to, before we go to some underwriting, I want to ask you about some upcoming gigs. I know you're at the Folk Alliance this weekend. So tell us what you're going to be doing.
Once
there.
I leave here, I have a few days before I leave on tour. So I tour the Southwest, and I won't be back until
the
first week of April.
Yeah.
So I'll be gone for about a month. And so I have Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, just all over. Unities. I'm really excited. I'm doing a Pride at Work show event in Phoenix, Arizona. They asked me to come out as an activist the union, the Teamsters that they have Pride at Work. So that's really exciting.
And if you would share your website with our
listeners. Absolutely. Yeah.
And how can they contact you through social media and that?
Yeah, I am a Summer Osborne fan. Facebook.com/SummerOsborneFan. You can find me on Facebook. You can search Summer Osborne. www.SummerOsborne.com. All of my information is there. Right down to my flipping phone number.
Yeah.
Call me. Let's talk.
And your music is just beautiful. It's so inspiring. You know, I love when you play live in the studio. Unfortunately, we caught you without your guitar, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Should have brought my ukulele.
Sir. Oh.
Next time,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll
Very
be back.
Good. Yeah, you will. Thank you so much, Summer.
Thank
we love you,
Maria. I love you, too.
All right. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this message. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boy, your host and producer. We bring you a special edition, the Valentine's edition of Where Were You? You know, for our listeners, think about where you were when you fell in love. And I leave this really broad, very open. What did you fall in love with? Was it a person? Was it your puppy? Was it a book? Was it, you know, a song, a poem? Where were you when you fell in love with it? You know, think about that story, because we all have stories. So I've asked a number of contributors to write about where and what they fell in love with. Summer Osborne, Quan Tracy Cherry, Rick Stacy, Lucky Garcia, and Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe, are here in the studio. Although I am going to go ahead and play a piece by Quan Tracy Cherry, his response to Where Were You? He couldn't be here in the studio today, so we're going to hear that. And I want to remind you that Quan Tracy Cherry is a astrologer, and he is a former attorney. And we're going to hear from him his beautiful story of Where Were You?
Hey, Maria. This is Quan Tracy Cherry. Where Were You? I will say that where I fell in love with numerology, which led to the tarot, which led to astrology. The book was called It's All in Your Numbers. I was in Iowa City. It was the spring of 1986. I had just left Detroit. I left Detroit, Michigan, after 2 years, approximately 2 years of studying to become a loan officer in their controller's department. And it was unfulfilling. And I left the same week as the Challenger crash in late January of 86 with Christine McAuliffe. So would not have watched that, would not have seen it because I would have been at work. But I wasn't. It's the first time in my life that I had not worked since I was 13. And I was in my early 20s. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And a friend of mine gave me a book in numerology, which, having a financial accounting degree, I took to it as the proverbial fish to water, although fish don't ever leave the water unless they die, so we might need another way to say that statement. But the point is that I started doing numerological charts that same day. And then when I saw the overlapping connection to the Tarot, I bought the Mother Peace Tarot deck, maybe just that week or two, or not so much longer later, but and started doing Tarot readings. And this is what autodidactic, self-taught. And then I bought a computer program earlier that summer, an astrology program, and I started to draw my charts artistically on purple paper. But it was just an instantaneous love, and I knew this is what I wanted to do. But 30 years ago, no internet, no astrology schools, so I didn't know where to learn. So I applied to law school, and I went to a Bridging the Gap conference, talked to some other African-American students that were already in law school, and I said, well, they can do it, I can do it. And it's, 2 weeks in, I knew it was a mistake. So I see that I studied spiritual law while in law school, finished, passed the bar, all the while doing astrology charts. I got my two highest grades from two Libran professors, Libra, the sign of the scales. There you have it on that level. And there was a love of yoga years later. And it's interesting that the yoga piece came when I had my radio show on KK. Now, you're on KKFI on Channel Z back in the late 90s. I used Madonna's, because Material Girl turned to Spiritual Girl, but the Frozen CD, she had the mantra. She did the mantra too that you do before Ashtanga yoga. She did it to music, and unbeknownst to me, I used that as my theme music for my radio show. And 3 years later, I started doing yoga, but I didn't put the two together until after I started. So I can definitely say that I've been led and guided by the things that I love, by open heart and just knowing what's up. And now, since this is Valentine's Day, you can use the third thing. I met my partner of 11 years this month. Met him in 1995 when he was working at a bartender and I was doing tarot readings at the Adams Mart. And the servers, because they knew I would get a glass of wine at the end of my 3-hour Thursday night gig, that I wouldn't ever have to go to the bar, because they brought everything to me, and he was the bartender, and I met him 11 years later. So, you got three things. Maria, you kick ass, and happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
And that's our beautiful Summer Osborne, who is just here in the studio. That's her latest release. Thank you so much, Summer Osborne, for your wonderful contribution. And, of course, Quan Tracy Cherry. We love our Quan Tracy Cherry. Up next, let me just tell you, folks that have just tuned in, we're talking about Where Were You? This is the Valentine's edition. Think about where you were when you fell in love with your significant other, science, music, your 57 Chevy, your child, yoga, literature, whatever it is. You name it. You write it. You read it, and we listen. So up next, we're going to hear from our friend Lucky Garcia. And Lucky Garcia, welcome to the studio. I know you've been here before.
I have. Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
And tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me. We've been trying to do this for a while.
Yeah.
I think we've been trying to get together. Me and Maria, we were in a play together, and ever since have kind of been fans of each other. I'm a total fangirl over your art.
Get out of here.
So I'm glad this is happening. Valentine's Day, I normally in the past don't really get into it, but I'm having a great Valentine's Day. I had a lovely date last night, and that's working out. I guess when it comes to love stories and where I was when I fell in love, there are a few things that you should probably know about me. First off, I'm a Sagittarius lesbian Latina, which means that I fall in love about 2 to 3 times a day. And I go from zero to married in about 2.5 seconds. But that doesn't make it insignificant. It's very deep, deep love. I'm also a hopeless romantic. Telenovela levels of romance, and along with that comes the telenovela levels of drama, I'm sure. But I love it. I love love. I love being in love. I have so much love to give and am super affectionate, and I kind of thank my family for that as well. But I thought of so many things that I wanted to talk about in love stories today, and I kind of settled on 1988 or 89, a very important, significant, poignant moment in my life, year in my life. I was 8 years old. And you could probably say it was this early coming of age, right? I hope that later I had a better coming of age. But a lot of things happen in my life when I was 8 years old in 1988. My baby brother was born, and so I was kind of forced to become a second parent. My mother was a single mother, and so I had to pick up the slack. And that's about the time that I had adult responsibilities. But I fell in love a few times in 1998, and these moments have stuck with me for the rest of my life. First off, my mother introduced me to Carlos Santana's Abraxas album when I was 8 years old, and I fell in love with the guitar. It was then that I started really paying attention to guitar melodies and space given in music, and really paying attention to music as a composition. And I fell in love with it, and I begged my abuelo to teach me how to play guitar, and he taught me a couple of chords and taught me how to play La Bamba. And I have been a huge fan of Carlos Santana ever since, and I think that still to this day I have good taste in music thanks to my mom. One of my favorite things to do is to cook and put on Santana's albums, especially Abraxas, and just cook and dance and love and have all the romance. And how could you not with, you know, the incredible, lovely music of Carlos Santana? So that was probably one of my first loves. But my very first time that I really, truly fell in love, I was 8 years old again. It was about 1988 or 1989. My entire life was just tossed upside down when I discovered and I saw Linda Carter playing Wonder Woman on TV. I was absolutely enamored. This was the first time that I realized any kind of sexuality in myself, because I saw her and I was like, hello, what's going on over here? And she was amazing. She was powerful. And I didn't see women on TV who were, you know, strong female leads. And she had power, and she was fighting bad guys, and she was very feminine and beautiful. And I loved the story, and I loved the backstory. She was fierce. She was also tying people up, which I picked up on that real quick. And she, to me, at 8 years old, was very clearly gay. at least she was in my mind, right? I have been madly in love with Wonder Woman ever since. I have a small collection of, you know, things and t-shirts, and I love the comics, and it's always a place of happiness for me, and it's always a place for me to feel strong in my feminism. She just never gets old for me. So that was huge for me, and that is also when I realized that I can love, and that I didn't ask anybody, but I also didn't know the difference between loving boys and loving girls. I just thought love was love. And that same year, 8 years old, after having fallen in love with Wonder Woman, I mustered up the bravery to then, you know, decide to fall in love with someone else, a real person. And this was the second time I fell in love. She was one of my classmates. I'm just going to call her Gina Rodriguez because I'm a huge fan of Gina Rodriguez, but I'm not going to sell out my friend. So she was one of my classmates. We were 8 years old. And I thought long and hard and really debated the risk, which there was none for me at 8 years old. And so I called her up one day after school, and I kind of snuck into my room, and maybe it was the closet or something. I was in a corner, and I called her up, and I confessed my love to Gina. And I really did it. Again, you know, I had been watching telenovelas with my grandma, so I am sure that it was very dramatic and over-the-top, cheesy, romantic. The best kind, in my opinion. So I really pulled out all the stops when I was 8 years old, confessing my love to Gina Rodriguez. But I did, and I said, come on, girl, let's run away with me. Let's get married. Let's blow this pop to stand, and let's go find Wonder Woman, and let's live happily ever after with the Amazon women. We can do this. And she turned me down. I don't know why, but she did. And we remained friends, but she did not want to run away with me and get married and find the Amazon women at 8 years old. But it was a good lesson in testing my romance, a good lesson in being brave and having courage around love, and a good lesson in rejection. And of course, I have never held back ever since. And that's my eighth year of my life was full of romance and love and will forever be with me.
We love you, Lucky Deluxe. Thank you so much. I love what I said. Lucky Deluxe, Lucky Garcia. I'm sorry, I have too many Luckies in here. No, that's wonderful. I love that. I love that story. Thank you so much for that.
Thank
you know,
you.
And if you would tell our listeners some upcoming events or projects that you're involved in, you can share that
sure,
with us.
Sure. This Sunday. I'm one of the founding members of Brown Voices, Brown Pulse, which was a community group founded after the Pulse nightclub tragedy in Orlando, Florida, and it centers queer people of color. And so we have monthly healing events, potlucks, parties, those kind of things. And we do have one this Sunday. We're doing Tai Chi and a potluck and some other healing things. Check out Facebook, Brown Voices, Brown Pulse. Some other things coming up. There is the Outskirts panel discussion, Femme and Women's Festival. I'll be speaking on a panel there. That's coming up. So look at Outskirts without the I. There's plenty of other things coming up. I've been really busy with that, but those are kind of the immediate things coming up.
Well, you know, we thank you so much for sharing your stories with us and taking time to come here to the studio live and read them. So thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
Lucky Garcia. So stick around. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. So, hey, where were you? This is the Valentine's edition of Where Were You? Think about it when, you know, where were you when you fell in love? And what is that love? Tell us. You write it, you name it, you write it, you read it, we listen. Meh, there you go. So up next in the studio, we have the beautiful Susanna Lee, who is a performer and comedian here in town. And she's going to tell you a little bit about a bit more about what she does, because you do a lot of different things, Miss Susanna Lee.
I am quite the Renaissance person.
You are. We love that about you. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. I'm not a Valentine's Day person. I'm really not a Valentine's Day person. I want to start, like, well, we'll talk about that in a second. When I was a kid, I got in trouble a lot for lying. It was like a double-edged sword with it, you know, like I would lie to avoid getting in trouble, and then I would get in trouble for lying. And it just sort of led me to this, you know, mostly like vigilant honesty. Like, I don't like lying because I'm not good at it, so I prefer to tell the truth, and then I'll tell just way more of it than I need to. So get ready for that. I've never in my life, never been in love on Valentine's Day, not even when I was married. And this was a very difficult subject to tackle. I love you, Maria, and I will do anything for you. And so when you asked, I was like, I will do anything for Maria, of course. And then when I stopped and I looked at it, I was like, oh no, oh no, not this.
Well, you know, there's a lot of love stories that includes non-love. Well, and that's a story.
Yeah. And when I was like first writing this, like, you know, first trying to write on this, it felt like, that essay from The Breakfast Club where I'm not exactly answering the question, but I'm being real honest and hoping that the honesty will sort of answer the question in a roundabout way enough to, you know, get a nod, you know. So I want to tell you where I was the first time I fell in love with like someone or something, but loving and being in love are very, very different things. And whereas I have a deep love for so many people, so many places, so many things, so many nouns, being in love is a mutual shared connective experience, I think. And it's one that, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever really experienced. There was a lot of things in the list of examples that you gave, like Chicago. I love Chicago. You know, I lived there for 5 years. I got my start as a professionally touring stand-up comic there. That was where I learned about adult life. You know, I learned how to tell a joke. I learned how to have a one-night stand. I learned how to balance out my whiskey with cocaine so I could continue like drinking past sunrise. You know, all the finest points of adulthood. That's what Chicago was for me. And I love Chicago even now. I love how, like, just eternally anonymous I feel there and left alone there, you know, hidden and cradled by the anonymity and the big stone buildings. People are too busy to stop. They're too busy to pry. It was easy to be as messy a version of myself there as I ever needed to be at any moment. But I'm not in love with Chicago because inanimate things cannot love back. And I love stand-up. I love being a comedian, being a comic. I love having an outlet for my life's experience. And through that, you know, of course, a way to connect. And I feel help people, whether by providing just the simple relief of a moment of laughter or the epiphany that comes with that moment where you realize that you can relate to something that you didn't think you could ever find someone else to relate, you know. That connection, that feeling like you aren't alone. I love that. But I'm also not in love with stand-up because as a profession, it's been kind of an abusive relationship. You know, it's been unpredictable, hot and cold, reasonless in its choices, less a love than an addiction maybe that I will continue to indulge in until I can no longer speak. I hope, you know, I love my cats, but are we in love? I don't know. I mean, they're always there. They are always there. We sleep together like almost every night. They're almost always really interested in whatever I'm doing, but more in a, what are you doing and why are you doing this instead of feeding us or playing with us or doing other stuff in the service of us sort of way, which rings like a little bit like too narcissistic to call love. Yoga. I love yoga and it's brought beautiful, amazing changes into my life. It's opened up new dimensions of my mind, of my body. It's been a gift I can give myself and others through teaching. But it's not something to be in love with. It's just a path that can lead to a place from which love is easier to access, I think. And for me especially, that's been helpful because most of my life, love between people. Love has been very elusive. You know, I feel as though the label of love has been a mask worn by other entities. Sheep's clothing, if you will. Love has been cited as an excuse. It's used as both a blade and band-aid. It's been like the tofu of emotions. You know, it's taken on the flavor of like whatever it's cooked with. You know, having substance, but way too open to interpretation to be able to trust in it, to get comfortable, to like sink into it. And so being in love, I think my entire life being in love has been my hero's journey. It's sort of been my life's quest, or maybe my mission. And maybe just because it's been so elusive, you know, maybe it's not even something that's real. Like maybe it's just this concept that I chase because I can't find it, you know, and it's not always something I chase because it sounds good. Like it's a very scary, it's like a Jabberwocky, you know, it has those claws that catch. And every time that I've thought that I was in love with another person, it's felt like that. It's felt at a time when it's shifted from feeling like I'm in love to feeling like I'm trapped, you know, trapped in a land that like shape shifts from paradise to hell and back again, you know, a groundless experience. And because I want so badly to find this feeling that I've been sold as something that never dies, the goal, what we're supposed to do, I've lost myself time and time again to the efforts of keeping someone else in love with me. And it was only very, very, very recently that I saw the flawed logic in that, you know. When we truly love something, we want to protect it. And we want to keep it safe so it can blossom, so it can grow from like fertile soil. And security is not a feeling that I've ever associated with love. It's never something that I've ever been given by someone else. It's never something I've ever found in someone else. And it's, you know, never something that I've had myself. And I realized the other day that's because I've been looking for other people to give it to me. So the only times that I've felt any sort of security have been these fleeting moments where I've given it to myself. Like an orgasm. Can I say that word? I'm kidding. I'm not, but sort of. So I'd like to answer the question of where I was when I first fell in love by saying that yesterday I was sitting on the edge of a treadmill in the basement of a YMCA. And I was passing the time when my mom swims by running. And my body was not willing to do it. I was sitting there and I just couldn't do it. I've been in a relationship for a little, you know, a short enough time. It's kind of soured. And the night before, I planned on ending the relationship, but I instead gave into the comfort of familiarity and instead let myself stay in it with all the issues that I was having still completely unresolved, the ground still shaky, but feeling like I just want to keep someone else happy because that's what I'm familiar with. That's what I know how to do. And I was very disappointed in myself for that. You know, for once again, like feeling like I'd failed myself and not showing up for my own best interests, just because it seemed easier, less conflicting. So I was sitting there yesterday on this treadmill. I was staring at this text, you know, sent by someone, and it just rang just as like disingenuous as it was like grammatically flawed. And I was sitting there just being mad at myself for not changing something that was absolutely in my power to change, that would lead to, if not more joy, at least less ugliness inside myself. And that was this epiphany that led me to send a breakup text. And the second I sent, I hit send, like I felt something inside me shift and break open and pour forth with this gratitude that felt like warm honey, you know, for finally like doing something to protect myself, you know, doing something to like show up for myself, for believing in my own feelings, finally, after like 42 years, validating myself in a way that no one else ever would. So, to answer the question, the original question, I was in the basement of a YMCA on February 13th of 2018 when I first fell in love with myself.
Yes.
Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and producer. We've got Where Were You, the Valentine's edition. And, you know, we've got a wonderful, you know, I just couldn't expect anything better than this group of folks as contributors today to the show. We have Summer Osborne. We heard from Quan Tracy Cherry and Lucky Garcia and Susanna Lee. Thank you so, so very much. And next up on deck is Rick Stacy. Welcome, Rick Stacy.
Hi.
Hi, come on up.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Now, Rick, you have a lot going on. You're not only a singer, songwriter, cartoonist, artist. You've got lots going on, too, don't you?
I'm a lifeguard at the car wash on Tuesday afternoons.
That's so bad.
The money's really good, though, so I really need the bucks. So
we want to hear your story. Where were you? This is the Valentine's edition. What is your love?
Okay, well, I'm just blown away by what you both have shared here, and it is absolutely riveting, and it opens up so much emotion and things, too, when it comes to love. I will tell you, I've learned in my advanced age that, advanced age being the operative verbs, I love people, swear to God, but that doesn't mean you don't have to like them, because things don't work. So I've learned there's a way to transcend those things where we're not gelling and stuff. That you can love people. I love that. I love storytelling as a sense of survival. What do I mean by that? Okay, let me back things up. You're like, where were you when you first fell in love? Back in the halcyon days of television that had the little round corners, okay, I would sit daily and watch what become for me one of the most influential and inspirational pieces of 1950s TV there ever was, and it was The Adventures of Superman. And it opened up to me a sense of awe and wonder and moral compass and adventure, and, you know, I'm going to help you out. Maybe you could help me out, but, you know, if you could do something to be the hero for the day for all the right reasons, right, again, being the operative word. Yeah, I want to do that. So I watched it, and it opened imagination to me. I'm the kid that put the bath towel on the back of my shirt and ran around the house and jumped and made it to the garage roof one day, and I thought, I can do this. I believe it's possible. I can make this happen. The towel was in place, and I leapt, and I fell, and I bit through my tongue because I don't learn the lesson twice because both of me are Gemini. I did it twice, so it was hard eating for quite a long period of time. The moment I knew that I was, and this is kind of going to sound odd, in love with the storytelling as a sense of survival was the day after my 7th birthday. And I lived in a untouched rural area, fields and trees and the stench of stagnant water. That's now called Overland Park, and it was nothing. Swear to God, there's people on horses on 87th and Riley, and it was this, again, the stench of the standing water and the swamps, etc. And my little job back then was to go get the afternoon paper. We had two papers back then, Kansas City Times in the morning, Star in the afternoon. I know, I delivered them growing up. And the day after my 7th birthday, still buzzed on sugar and cake and candy and things and parties and stuff, I brought my mother the paper. And I saw a photograph of Superman from TV, which is George Reeves. I said, Mom, oh, my God, because that makes the real thing connect. And then, you know, this is it's a real thing. And I said, pop the string off there. What's the newspaper say? And she said, oh, Superman killed himself. Yeah. Boom. Okay. So I spent a lot of time silent like this. I didn't get it. I walked back to my bedroom where we had a lot of number two pencils, because that's what you did everything with back then, okay? No hard drive, just pencils and tablets and notepads. And I started drawing stick figures. I never stopped drawing stick figures because I didn't want the stories to die. I wanted to, let's finish it, let's do it. You can't leave that story unfinished. And I never stopped. And I drew through grade school. Okay, and I got my little Superman suit when I was probably 9 years old, and I put it under my clothes. I didn't take it off, truly. I'd go to school with this, you know. And if there was an emergency, sister would say, Catholic place, yes, you can go outside and change now, young man. I know you have work to do. And I kept it on and kept it. And as I drew through grade school and high school and got out of high school the day after, a couple days after I got out of high school, I went to New York. to go to work as the next world's greatest comic strip book artist and writer. Go team. And went to DC Comics and Marvel Comics and initiated relationships that still go on to this. We're old dudes now. You know, we really are. But did that. I was quite fortunate to be doing movies and TV and stuff back in 2006. And I would leave my home here, fly out to L.A. and spend a few weeks and come back. I must say, if I was any good at it, I'd still be there. But I went to a showing of Hollywoodland. Don't know if you remember that. Ben Affleck. This was probably a year before it came out. And we all sat in a little abandoned mall storeroom, strip mall storeroom, and watched this uncut version about George Reeves' suicide. I don't believe it was suicide. Now, that's just me, because over the years at the Comic Cons, since the 80s at least, I became friends with the remaining cast members from the TV show. Noelle Neal was Lois Lane, Jack Larson was Jimmy Olsen, et cetera, et cetera. There was no suicide there, but this is a hushed-up story for another time. At the end of the showing, we went to a party, and I met Loretta Swit, who came up to me, and she said, what'd you think? And I talked to her, she talked to me, and she said, you know, nobody grieves for George Reeves. And that was a song that was released after his death, and we opened the conversation, and I just shared with her, as I'm sharing with you, when she asked why I was doing what I was doing, I told her. And we had a moment of silence, and she reached across the table out on the patio where we were, and she kissed me. When she kissed me, when Hollips kisses you, she kisses you. That's a kiss, let me tell you. And I asked her what was that for, and she said, my dear boy, you still do this? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you're in therapy. So it looks like that's something I'm working through for the rest of my life, because there's always a need to draw or tell stories or talk or write, as I've been doing for the last couple of years too. There's always a need to put an end to the story so things fit. That can be a blessing. That can be a brickbats. That can mess things up too in what we see in life. But that's how I got where I'm guarded right, or got where I am right now. I'll see you at Comic-Con if you come up. I'm one of the guests there. Yeah. I've been doing that since, you know, carving on the stone walls back in the...
It's my first time, so...
Yeah. Come find me, and yeah, it'll be fine.
Well, and I know... thank you so much, Rick. I know you have such a love and a passion for the work that you do, and that's why you do what you do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I want to remind listeners that tomorrow night there's a special local showcase with you. It's all about you, Rick.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That's the way I want it, you know, just kind of look in the mirror and say, that's me. But
Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, you're going to be featured on the local showcase. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a cacophony of little notes I've written over the years.
So I love that word.
It is fun. It's cacophony. It just rolls off your tongue. And I've been a corporate senior creative director in town for years and years, and I've done all the corporate mucky muck, and that's fine. I'm not knocking it to pay for the house.
Sure.
Okay. But while I was doing that, and I was listening to people talk about stock loss reserve and how many investments we're making to move retail into Mexico and come back, I hear these numbers and these figures and these people pontificating in rooms that just, the walls just about shake, and I'd stop and I'd write, last night I dined with Frankenstein and Currier and Ives, discussing much and this is such, how paltry were our lives. And I kept the notes, and I wrote a book and I published it called Funny You Should Ask. And I took more new material and recorded a 2-CD set. And if I may, I'm just going to get real spontaneous with you. The Linda Carter thing, I love Linda Carter. She's just absolutely a...
Isn't she?
I've never met her. We've communicated on her website before because she posted one of my illustrations that I did. And the little piece I wrote for her, I'm just going to just do a cappella since we have no pellas. And it's from my CD. We'll play the whole thing tomorrow night. You'll play the whole thing tomorrow night. Who's that posting pictures? Linda Carter. Linda Carter. On my Facebook page, Linda Carter today. I'd start up a Kickstarter to go see Linda Carter in concert, and that's how I'll spend my 401k. But it's done with music and other voices and stuff, too. But some of the stuff I do, and that's why I do it, and it is as much a part of me as any other aspect of mental or physical, and I'm very, very pleased to have been able to embrace those feelings, express them. My storytelling is for you. Mm-hmm. Really, it's for me. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, This is one of the reasons why I reached out to the people that I did, because I knew they had a very interesting point of view, and you would hear something so different from one another, and yet there's some human side that we can all relate to in all the stories that you've heard today. So I really thank Quan Tracy Cherry, Lucky Garcia, Rick Stacy, Summer Osborne, and the beautiful Susanna Lee. And Susanna, you wanted to mention some upcoming events or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a couple shows coming up. On the 17th of this month, just a few days away, I will be performing at Uptown Arts Bar on the Flaccid Femmes show. It's a comedy show, and I think it's going to be so much fun. I also bartend at Uptown Arts Bar, and just love it there. Just absolutely love it there.
You are a lot of fun in performances. I've seen you, many times at the Fringe Festival and here in town and that. And I just never know what to expect. And it's always just a treasure. I mean, it's just really a joy.
It's usually funny.
Yeah.
It's not Valentine's Day, it's usually very funny. And then I'll be performing on March 10th with Burlesque Downtown Underground.
Yeah.
In some wonderful capacity. And... then I would say, check my website for upcoming stuff, but I put one of my cats in charge of updating my website. She's not doing a very good job.
What? I tell you, you need a new cat, honey. And I think a lot of times people are, it's just easier to sort of post updates and information on, social media, whether that be Instagram or Facebook or whatever else is out there. So, yeah. Well, I thank you all so very much for showing and telling your stories today. And, we just really love that you spent this afternoon with us here on ArtSpeak Radio. Excellent. Thank you all. Do you have any last words that you want to tell folks before I move on to next week's show?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Can I share that when we're here tomorrow night, we'll be here with Erica Williams, who is a multi-talented
Erica.
Woman and a dear friend of mine, who is represents the American Association for Suicide Prevention. So a lot of things we do are silly and funny and goofy. A lot of them are extremely serious for your contemplation. Therein lies that expression of love. So she'll be doing voices with me tomorrow night. We'll be talking about her in the city, and she will be a guest at Comic-Con, too. So
beautiful.
I just wanted to add, happy Valentine's Day, Maria.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you all so very much. And thank you all for listening today. I want to tell you that next week's show, we're heading into the middle of February, February 21st. We'll have Bill Haw on. He'll be, he's with Haw Contemporary. And also we'll have Taylor Irwin, who produces the Creative Hour KC. So stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger. I think he's here in town, should be anyway. And, do like us on Facebook. I think we're at 666 likes. I want to thank you all so much for listening. Do like us on Facebook. You can find our podcasts on our website at kkfi.org and on iTunes. So happy Valentine's Day, Rose. That's my mother. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And we love you. And, honey, I'm coming home.